Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line, live right here on a Monday morning on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, as always, joined by my guy, Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how we feeling?
Monday morning, new week, new money, Kevin, as they say, an action-packed weekend. Should be fun over the next 2 hours enjoying this. And off we go, Kevin, on a new week. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. A lot of big things happening this weekend. So let's start things off with our 7-7 top headline, starting in the NBA, where the Clippers finish off the Dallas Mavericks in Game 7. Finally, a home team able to win a game in this series. 126-111 is your final. Kawhi leading the way with 28 points and an assist shy of a triple-double. Luka Doncic is 46-14-7. Not enough, as the Mavs are eliminated in round one, and the Clippers, Donnie, will be moving on to face the Utah Jazz.
Here's the interesting part about this game, Kevin, as you take a look at it. You see the final score, 126-111. So if you say, well, let's just go to the stat line before we reveal who actually won the game. Hey, Luka Doncic, 46-14-7. Looks like those Mavericks moving on. Not so fast. What a nice win by the Clippers here against the ropes multiple times, playing rope-a-dope in this series, moving on. The question is, was that good for the Clippers, Kevin, where you had your back against the wall, now you can make your run? Or is this what we're looking at for the Clippers moving forward, where maybe they're just not that good a team, but a Game 7 victory, and yes, finally somebody wins on their home court?
That is the give and take. Oh, you exercise some of your playoff woes. You're now exhausted after going an unnecessary 7. It's very interesting. Also yesterday in the association, the Hawks take game one off of the 76ers, who actually had Joel Embiid. The box score here is wild, with all of the starters for Philly being in the plus. Doc Rivers necessarily taking some heat there, but the Hawks do hold off the Sixers 128-124 and hold a 1-0 series lead, Donnie.
Amazing. The one thing I was amazed with about this game, Kevin, was the fact that the Philadelphia 76ers slipped by so much so early at home. You thought Joel Embiid coming back would give them a jolt. And again, looking at the box score, Joel Embiid, maybe he's not going to play. Maybe he's not going to play the first few games. When does he come back? And when he does, is he going to be AD, who's just going to hobble around the court and play about 4 to 5 minutes and be non-effective? 39-9 for Joel Embiid in this one. A furious comeback in the fourth quarter, falls a little bit short. But as I say, Kevin, to a good team, you can't get down 20 to a good team and expect to win. They did not win on the game two. Must win for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, absolutely, though. Excited for that one. I good at least to see Joel Embiid available. Speaking of availability, James Harden injured in the Nets game one victory over the Milwaukee Bucks, 115-107. Harden was injured immediately, only played a minute. Already ruled out for game two. Good thing the Nets do hold that 1-0 series lead, Donnie.
It is a good thing the Nets hold that 1-0 series lead. And how about this? If you are a live game bettor, which primarily I am in Major League Baseball, didn't have access to my phone or a computer when Harden went down 40 seconds into the game. Kev, you know where I would have been, smashing that button right away on the Milwaukee Bucks. Thank goodness I wasn't around. That was an impressive performance by the Nets here. We have some interesting questions coming up on how the Nets move forward and if they can, Kevin. But good win, 1-0 Nets.
Yeah, very, very excited to break down game two today within our show and also look at game number one and everything that played out there. Let's welcome the radio audience into the fold. Thank you for listening to The Early Line live on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 204. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you here on a Monday morning. Over in the NFL, Julio Jones traded to the Tennessee Titans. A.J. Brown's recruitment finally pays off, and the Falcons send Julio Jones to Tennessee, Donnie.
Hey, interesting move here because it made all the right sense in the world. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now. Where would he fit in? New England? Is he going to go to L.A.? But the fact that he went to the Titans, they had a big need for a big-time wide receiver opposite A.J. Brown. They got that. Julio wanted a strong-arm quarterback. He got that. A dominant running game in a division that doesn't have that much great defense. So it looks like a perfect fit here for Julio Jones. And also, as I say this as an Eagles fan, hey, game one versus the Atlanta Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles. Thank goodness Julio will not be there.
You love to see that.
Love
Julio and that addition has already started to move some of the futures market. We'll talk about that here within the show. How about in the world of golf? Typically, we would just be letting you know who won the Memorial. Instead, we're kind of letting you know maybe who should have won the Memorial. John Rahm, the pre-tournament favorite, forced to withdraw at the end of 3 days of play with a 4-5-shot lead, Donnie, after testing positive with COVID.
Amazing. A 6-shot lead, too, heading into the final round where he's won before. You figure he would have cruised the victory on a nice Sunday stroll. But the fact after the round was over, getting the news, and if anybody watched this golf tournament live when it was happening right at the moment, you had no idea what was actually going on. John Rahm looking devastated. You know, you could say it was good news that it was only COVID that he got because it seemed like something even more disastrous. John Rahm looks like he is asymptomatic. Hopefully he recovers quickly and is able to get back for the U.S. Open. But up 6 strokes, Kevin, all that hard work, wasn't able to complete the challenge here.
In the world of tennis, Serena Williams eliminated in the French Open, leaving the field now with only one former winner. Though Coco Gauff, a very powerful household name there, still in the running as well, Donnie.
Yeah, actually, Serena showed well here in the French Open. You saw her with the wrap around her thigh, probably indicating some sort of hamstring injury. But very good showing by Serena. No shame in her game. The greatest of all time in tennis. She'll be okay.
One final headline. Jacob deGrom, the dominance continues. The man has a 0.62 ERA. That's absolutely headline worthy. We come back. It's time for Hot or Not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're right back here on The Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Monday morning. Time for some Hot or Not. We got a good list here. I'll tell you what, we might not even be able to get to everything. So let's get this thing underway. We start with a little projection. We just said goodbye to Luka Doncic during this postseason. He was phenomenal during that series against the LA Clippers. And the question I wanted to pose here, Luka Doncic will be the favorite to win MVP next season. He was the favorite coming into this season. Will it be true going into next season, Donnie? Hot or not?
Oh, I think it's hot. And the reason why I think this is hot is we like things that are new. Let's just say Jokic does win the MVP this year. What's he going to have to do next year, Kevin? 45, 20, and 10 to win the MVP again in back-to-back seasons? Let's flip it over to Luka Doncic. You know Mark Cuban is a wheeler and dealer. He's going to strengthen that team. So if we have an improvement overall from the Mavericks themselves, meaning moving higher in the seedings before next year's playoff, you know if Luka Doncic is healthy, he's going to be a walking triple-double, putting up monster statistics. And it was almost like once you see him like you did this year, you expect it next year. He's got to be the favorite to me, Kevin. I'm hot on this. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, no, it's piping hot. He's absolutely going to be the favorite. I'd be stunned if he wasn't. Jokic was dominant all season, and they try to give the award to Chris Paul randomly, some folks there. Like, Jokic, putting back-to-back would be nearly impossible. Giannis, if he wins, like, finals MVP, maybe. Maybe. Embiid, the health. LeBron, the health. AD, the health. Steph, maybe, is your second choice. Like, I think Luka is absolutely going to be the favorite to win the MVP. Now, actually winning it is a whole nother bag, but I definitely think he will be the favorite next year. Again, averaging 36, 10, and 8 in that series against the Clippers. How about another NBA offering here for hot or not? The Brooklyn Nets can win the title without James Harden. They're plus 160 to do so. No James Harden for the Nets, still win a championship, Donnie, hot or not?
If he's not there the rest of the playoffs, this is a not for me. The big three was put together not because it's the big two or the big one, Kevin. It's the big three. We need all three of these components working at high efficiency to win an NBA championship. Can they do it? Maybe. But I'm going to go not on this one because you're going to have attrition. Look, we already see a 1-0 series. Hey, they won the first game versus the Bucks without him. No big deal. You still have to win this series. If Joel Embiid is playing at a 39-9 pace moving forward here as well, Kevin, you're going to probably have to beat the Philadelphia 76ers, even though they're down 0-1. And then, oh yeah, whoever comes out of the West. So now you're looking at two guys, Kyrie Irving and KD, that are going to have to put everything on their shoulders and not another MVP caliber player to help them out or even bail them out. I'm going not on this, Kevin. Now, you saw it live. You saw this team with their two big superstars for the majority of the game. How are we feeling about this, hot or not?
Yeah, so, you know, that game in a way helped kind of confirm some things that I guess we all knew, but the reason why they are a justifiable favorite the way they have been all season long is less about the ceiling of the team and more about the floor. The fact that James Harden can be injured and you can be like, they might still get past Milwaukee in a season that has been defined by injury, from LeBron to Embiid to Jamal Murray to this and this, they still have the ability to send Durant and Kyrie out there. So can they win the title if Harden doesn't come back? They could, but I don't think they will. I don't think they'll win the series that they're currently in right now, even with being in the building and watching that all play out in the fashion that it did. So it's a They could, but no, it's a hot and a nod. I'm a little all over the place on it, but I don't think they will win the title. I guess they could. How about, I love that we've got a little football here on a hot or not. Oh, yeah. You can tell the calendar starting to turn. Let's go up a little bit further here. The Tennessee Titans will win the AFC after adding Julio Jones. That number on the move post the trade. Now 16-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Hot or not, the Titans to win the AFC with Julio Jones, Donnie?
It feels like I'm hating this morning, but I'm going to go not on this one. Love the move and the transaction for the Tennessee Titans. Exactly what they needed, getting a little bit more firepower. But still, I'm not so sure that they can win the division. But let's take a look here, Kevin, at the team that won the Super Bowl a year and a half ago, lost the Super Bowl this year. If you would have told me that all the Chiefs needed was to rebuild their offensive line, and they did, Kansas City Chiefs still sitting up in that upper echelon for me in the AFC. Tennessee is a better team to me, Kevin, but absolutely not on this one. Are you plugging the Tennessee Titans here, Kev? What are we doing with this one, hot or not?
I'm interested in the Titans at the price. Like, the Denver Broncos are 10-1. I mean, what are we even, like, can somebody just admit they know Rodgers is going to this team? Like, what are we even doing here? Yeah. Like, Drew Lock is going to start. So, like, I almost feel like I'm hot on every team that's under the Denver Broncos because it makes no sense. Ultimately, though, it's a not because I'm not betting this ticket today. I'm not. I might at some point. I might get there. I think there's some arguable value, but it is still a not as of the moment. But it's not a move that I would hand wave like some of the Kansas City Chiefs fans that we know. This doesn't do anything for them. It's Julio Jones. They needed help with wide receiver position. And they might now have the best 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position. Like, Donnie, is that hot or not? The best 1-2 wide receiver combo now plays for the Tennessee Titans?
If Julio's healthy, absolutely. Why not? You have two fantastic wide receivers.
Yeah, I think you go through the options. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf come to mind. But, I mean, if Travis Kelce counts, him and Tyreek Hill obviously have a ton of value. But you're looking at a Tennessee Titans team now, again, with, you know, Derrick Henry and Tannehill, who's been phenomenal for them. That's not a team to look past in any sense of the word. How about another hot or not here? This is a fun one because I feel like it's old school versus new school here in the world of golf. And it's quite simple. Brooks Koepka versus Bryson DeChambeau is good for golf. Hot or not, Donnie?
Hot. Extremely hot. Here's the reason being. We like rivalries. If you remember, like 10 to 15 years ago, it was Phil versus Tiger. But obviously, Tiger was the more superior golfer at this point. You have two guys sitting here in their prime who legitimately can't stand each other in a gentleman's game. But here's why it's really good for golf and could get a little bit tedious, though, in the upcoming weeks. U.S. Open's coming up. It's pretty clear that these guys have rabbit ears, particularly DeChambeau, whereas anybody says, Brooksy, out from the gallery, he's pointing them out and they're having them removed. When you feed the trolls, more trolls emerge. If he had a good time with this, and I'm talking about DeChambeau, and laughed it off, within the end of the first tournament that they did it, everybody would have it was a good joke. Ah, he's a good guy. But the fact that it bothers him, you know, people out there love, Kevin, to agitate. And when both of these golfers are on their A game, can you imagine the U.S. Open with these two in the final pairing? Sign me up for it.
Yeah.
Extremely hot, Kev. What do you think?
It's undeniably hot. It's as hot as it gets. They, like, Phil Mickelson just won a PGA championship. He's one of the five most recognizable golfers on tour. They absolutely should replace him and get Brooks in the match. I mean, lean into this. At this point, like, just do a one-on-one of Brooks versus Bryson. Why wouldn't you? Like, find a way to capitalize on this. I totally agree, especially to a game like golf where the proximity is so close when you're playing next to one another. Like, we know that, like, NBA schedule makers and NFL schedule makers do a great job kind of leaning into the narrative here. Put these guys in the same group as often as possible. Put them in the same group. Lean into it here. It's very, very simple. All right, we got time for one more hot or not here. The MLB, they're going to roll out foreign substance rules in June. I'm so over this sport. The third strike call against the Yankees. I don't even acknowledge that they stink anymore because I don't acknowledge the sport of baseball. Donnie, will it help the batters hot or not?
I'm going hot on this. It has to help. And the fact that Major League Baseball took juice out of the baseball, but then for the first part of the season said, let's just go wild with foreign substances. Eventually, this is going to help. Hopefully, scoring increases over the summer, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, I'll let Donnie handle that. I no longer acknowledge the sport. Major League what? I have no idea. We come back. Let's talk about the weekend's NBA action.
Coming in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, time to dive into some of the NBA action that we saw over the weekend. And I want to start with the finishing of round one with the Clippers and the Mavericks. A game six in Dallas, down 3-2. The Clippers win on the back of Kawhi Leonard's 45-point performance. Phenomenal effort from him. They go to game seven in their building. Kawhi, again, excellent. Luka, though, also phenomenal here. The interesting thing about this series, and maybe in the grand scheme it doesn't matter, Donnie, but I felt like Luka was dazzling so much, especially to begin this series. In ways, he was overshadowing how excellent Kawhi was. Again, I don't know if it matters to argue which one of them was better, but I think you could actually make a case that Kawhi was still the best player in the series, and ultimately his team is advancing to round number two.
Yeah, game six was really impressive. They're going on the road, picking up a victory. And at that point, 3-3, but every single road team had picked up victories there. Taking a look at him in that game. Also, Kevin, I know we talked about there was an odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook for both players technically to get 30 points. But what that meant was they both needed a combined 60 points. And I remember saying it as the game tipped off, or you saying it when the game tipped off, was the simple fact that Kawhi Leonard is going to guard Luka Doncic. It's going to take a little bit away from his offensive game. Dropped 45 in a closeout scenario for the Dallas Mavericks. That was phenomenal. Flipping it over to Sunday afternoon, it's about what I expected. Somebody was going to win home court. I would thought the Mavericks, the plus three, which ended up plus 2.5 on Friday night, was the right move. Obviously, it wasn't. So coming back, a strong performance by the Clippers, buoyed once again by Kawhi Leonard. Almost a triple-double, Kevin. 28, 10, and 9. But you're right. The interesting statistic in this one, if you're just opening up the almanac and saying, Luka had 46, 14, and 7, Kevin, and they lost by double digits. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, it's a very interesting series, but Luka Doncic in year three, all of a sudden being talked about a little bit like tenure number one for LeBron in Cleveland. You must get this guy help. What are they going to do if they don't get him help? Should he, like, oh, they must act now. There's a lot of time there for this Mavericks team. And it's not like they haven't been aggressive. They were aggressive to get Luka. They moved after Kristaps. Obviously, that's now kind of gone left, unfortunately, for them. But, you know, the one thing about this Mavericks team that I will say is a little difficult, like, you go up 2-0, you only needed one of the games in your home building. You're up 3-0 or 3-1. You feel phenomenal. You go up 3-2, you close the darn thing out on your home floor. But we had talked about this. This is now 2 years running. They've just been a bad home team. And that's why the Clippers never felt out of it. Like, that was the interesting thing, Donnie. Even if at certain points I know you're, oh, I think maybe I'd take the Mavs plus the points here. I don't think at any point we wrote the Clippers off. Not down 2-0, not down 3-2. They always felt like they had a chance in this series. And now, I think it is absolutely valid to consider the idea that this team is better prepared for the playoffs because they felt like they were the opposite of battle-tested. If they were up against it, they were going to fold. They were up against it four different times in this series. Game 3, Game 4, Game 6, Game 7. They answered the bell pretty much every single time.
No, they certainly did. And obviously going at or being at home in the Staples Center, going back 0-2 down to Dallas, we did talk about all Dallas needed to do was pick up one victory in games 3 and 4, and that was probably going to clinch the series. The one thing I can say that I was impressed with is it wasn't the fact that, oh, you know, Luka's just not ready yet. He's not ready to carry that torch. He did everything in his power to try to lift the Dallas Mavericks over a higher-seeded and, quite frankly, a more talented Los Angeles Clippers team. So maybe we do look at it as he does need a little bit of help. Mark Cuban is going to get him help, and it'll be interesting to see where that comes from. But we've already talked about possibility of him being the MVP favorite to start the NBA season next year. Rightfully so. He's a couple really hot shooters away from moving on. Luka is a bright spot in the NBA, and rightfully so, Kevin. What a series in this, but the Clippers move on, and before the series started, I guess that's what we expected, and it is going to happen.
You know, it's very interesting, but you've seen kind of some of the chatter about the shape of the NBA playoffs right now, and they're like, man, it's so wild, like all the favorites went, it's like, there's only one favorite that was really eliminated. It was the Lakers. Like, other than that, the seeds 1-3 in the East are still there. In the West, the Clippers are there. The Jazz are there. Like, this is still an excellent postseason. But the one thing that is true of the Western Conference right now, when you were, you know, throughout the year kind of ranking the trust that you would have in the teams, kind of the, well, what have you done for me before? The Clippers do sit head and shoulders above. Now, a lot of that is entirely born out of Kawhi's existence because he has a finals MVP. Of all of the teams remaining in the Western Conference, he's the only one with a finals MVP. To be fair, there's only two teams left that have a finals MVP, with the Nets having a Kevin Durant. So, like, that is something that matters. And if you look at it, the Jazz are the favorites to win the West at plus 120, but the Clippers at plus 190, quite clearly they believe the winner of that series will be going to the finals. It's pretty similar, Donnie, to what they are anticipating out of the Milwaukee and Brooklyn series, with those two teams going up against each other, but being the first and second choice on the board to actually come out of the Eastern Conference. That is quite interesting to me.
No, it certainly is. And I know you have a Clippers ticket in your pocket here, which we get to reevaluate after a series victory to see them moving forward. But again, I would try to get in on the Los Angeles Clippers because you're looking at the ceiling and what they can be when Playoff P is engaged, when obviously also Kawhi Leonard is engaged, they look like a pretty good basketball team, but it's almost like you're still trying to leap into the future of what we're going to anticipate. If they're going to play the series the way they played versus the Dallas Mavericks, you know, give up home court, you know, not really defend home court, and then when our back's against the wall, then we're going to turn it on, Kevin, that's going to be a problem moving forward. But I'm always of the ilk that a team that gets tested early on is better for that later on because they understand the struggle and don't want to get themselves back into that situation. But if they do, Kevin, get back in that situation, they know they've already won in that situation. I actually think the Clippers are the best team moving forward out west, and then we'll see how the East plays out. But I think the Clippers are sitting in a very good position, but I'm interested to see how they come out in the next series. Is it dead weight? Is it not taking care of their business when they're up? We'll see if that happens. But right now, if you're holding a Clippers ticket, woo, a little bit of a relief. But looking forward, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I mean, plus the odds to win the championship now plus 460. So, I mean, there's CLV aplenty. Someone tell Dave Sharpen to cash our tickets. Let's talk about Hawks Sixers here. This, Donnie, to me, has to be one of the more frustrating games for Sixers fans because obviously they came out poorly, but Doc Rivers went to an all-bench lineup in the playoffs. That's unforgivable. Look at the plus minuses for this team. The entire Sixers bench is a minus. The entire Sixers bench, the entire starting five is a plus. Would Joel Embiid a plus 13? Like, Trae Young was a minus 11. Those numbers don't lie. It was how dominant that group was in the second half. Like, Doc Rivers basically just didn't know what he was doing to start this series. Like, they had plenty of time to prep. I thought it was an unforgivable coaching performance from Doc Rivers that cost this team the first game and momentum in the series.
Yeah, it was an interesting one from the get-go because you had that little touch and go in the first quarter. Then all of a sudden, Atlanta pulled away. And it seemed like the Sixers had no answer for the pick and roll with Trae Young working off of it. And then you say, well, I mean, what are you going to do when a team's shooting like 60% from three, 70% from the floor? That usually evens out, and it did. Got to be quite honest. In the second half, when the Sixers get a little bit closer, go back up to 20, get a little bit closer, go back up 20 for the Hawks, I'm like, this game is over. And all of a sudden, you get like the alerts like, wait a second. Here come the Sixers down the stretch getting themselves right back into it. But it is an interesting dichotomy, Kevin, as you take a look. We didn't know what we would be getting out of Joel Embiid in that game. He plays, drops 39-9. Now, you can look at it and say, well, the Sixers came back. They played bad. You can't get down 20. They made it a game at the end. That's all fine and good. But I also look at it a different way, saying, well, hold on now. This wasn't Joel Embiid, Kevin, that went 12-7 in this game and looked okay, he'll increase minutes as the series goes on. He dropped just about 40 points in this game, and they still lost. Hopefully Doc Rivers, who I believe is a much better coach than Brett Brown, will make adjustments heading into game two, and home court advantage will be a problem. I don't think a lot of alarm bells are around. Oh, my goodness. Look, good teams with good players are going to win basketball games in the NBA. This Atlanta Hawks team was very good down the stretch, and I believe I saw the statistic, Kevin, that said the Hawks and the Sixers from, I believe, February, March on had the best record in the Eastern Conference. No surprise to me whatsoever. Game two should be fun. But it is nice to see Joel Embiid drop 39 points. But again, interesting, he drops 39, Kevin, and they still lost.
So first of all, the Embiid points prop was 21.5, which I had to take a look at because we saw how things played out with Anthony Davis, which I loved too. I was like, wow, exciting to see Joel in play. And everybody's in my mentions like, didn't you learn your lesson with Anthony Davis? And I'm like, certainly the Sixers aren't as foolish as the Lakers for letting a guy 10% health go out there. Clearly Embiid was that much better health. We're going to talk a lot about the Nets-Bucks within hour number two. But here's something I think that really perfectly captures kind of the problems with Milwaukee. Torn meniscus, questionable to play. Joel Embiid plays more minutes than Giannis Antetokounmpo did. Budenholzer needs to play his superstars, Donnie, and it feels almost that simple.
No, it does. And for the Joel Embiid injury, just to kick that back, is, you know, reading between, I'm not a doctor here by any imagination, but reading between what this actually means is Joel Embiid just has to get through the pain and the swelling because this injury can't heal itself without surgery. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Show up, Giannis. Are we resting? Are we going to take a load management game next year for Giannis? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like Bruno's like, I grab a day. I got Bryn Forbes minutes to cash. Like, it's absolutely bananas what that guy is doing. I do think Milwaukee, though, has some life here. I'm excited to break that game down. We take a break. We come back. Let's recap weekend watch. See what happened over the weekend. Come right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're right back here on the early line. Time for a little weekend watch recap. Some of the other activities that were going on in the sports world that we told you to keep your eyes on. Of course, a couple of hockey guys here. We got to start over in the NHL playoffs. Excited to see Donnie if they offer us any odds boosts for today's action. But I think the most noteworthy thing that we saw happen over on the ice, the Golden Knights all of a sudden leveled that thing up at 2-2. You know, we had asked the very general question, would any team down in their series make the comeback? And Vegas was an interesting option because they had the longest odds of any of the teams that we were discussing, but they had yet to play on their home ice, and they were able to protect their home ice, winning the first one 3-2, and then game four, they won a dominant 5-1 victory. And Donnie, they were, I think, better than like 5-1 to win that series after going down 2-0. The Avs are now minus 144 with the Golden Knights at plus 118. That series has certainly shifted now.
No, it certainly has. And, you know, sold out home crowd in Vegas really makes a difference as they won yesterday, even the series 5-1. But you are correct, because us hockey guys sitting on some odds boost out here didn't look like it was much of an odds boost after the first two games. But with the FanDuel Sportsbook, a plus 200 number on the Avalanche to win the series before the puck dropped in game one, rose significantly after games one and two, but now have come back to normal. 144 favorite for the Avalanche, plus 118 for the Vegas Golden Knights. Good to see them come home and hold serve, unlike we were talking about the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks series. Now you go back into elevation in Denver to see whoever's going to win that pivotal game five. If it's the Avalanche, you're going to have yourself a pretty nice price if you want to jump in for a little bit of hedge money here, Kevin, if we take a look at these odds boost numbers. But an interesting night on the ice, fun stuff there. But also, Kevin, the other ice games, 3-0 Montreal now moving forward. Canadians.
I'm actually a little surprised that their odds to win the Stanley Cup aren't a little bit shorter, because they're up 3-0 comfortably now. Maybe Tampa Bay similar, but like Montreal, barring a complete collapse, will be moving on to the next round, which will put them in the semis. The interesting thing, and I know there were some negotiations around this, Donnie, to allow travel from over the border with either them or then whomever advances from Colorado and Vegas, which is really interesting because none of these teams have had to do that. Like, that's real, you know, a little bit more of a grueling travel schedule, if you will. But Montreal at 14-1 to win the cup is an interesting number, I think, when you consider how hot they are and the way Carey Price obviously continuing his dominant run. And people have often said all you need is the good goaltender there to finish things out, and you know, it'll be smooth sailing, and certainly that has been the case for them. Worth mentioning, Tampa Bay is up 3-1, and the Isles have leveled it 2-2 with the Boston Bruins, and they'll be playing today. The one thing that jumps out to me is Boston is minus 190 on today's money line while being minus 182 series favorites. If you were interested in betting the Bruins on the series price, you might as well pay the extra $8 for tonight's game, Donnie, because you're certainly not looking to get that number if they lose tonight's game at home and then they'd all of a sudden be down 3-2 in the series.
Yeah, these pivotal game fives are exactly what you're trying to square up here, because usually the winner, that's probably going to go on to win the series, because what does that mean for the team that loses game five? You need to win six and seven, and one of those games in the opposing team's building. So certainly something to keep an eye on that situation. That's been a great series as well. Hockey's ebbs and flows are awesome. I mean, back and forth each and every night. Yeah. Sometimes home ice doesn't mean all that much in hockey, but outside of the fans in the stands themselves, we always have to remember, you get the last line change to try to get the best matchup possible, but that's That's a fun one as well. It's great for hockey. I'm glad the fans are back in the stands. It's an electric atmosphere. Watching last night, you had a hat trick where it just seems like a crescendo came down on the ice here. Hat after hat after hat after hat. Fun stuff to watch here. Good that Vegas is back into it. Yeah. And those playoff beards, Kevin, getting longer and longer as we go.
Yeah, they certainly are. I want to talk about some of the Major League Baseball series that we told you to watch. Some of these we may even be mentioning in our number two. You know, to me, Donnie, the one that feels the most noteworthy, but I don't know if this is my New York bias. It feels like the Yankees, but it feels like it's for all the wrong reasons. Swept at home to the Boston Red Sox, the Yankees now are 14-21 against the American League East. Like, that's really the story. They're 17-8 against the rest of Major League Baseball. They can't beat their division. Tampa Bay owns them. Boston, three games, lost all three at home. Toronto's had their number as well. Heck, they've even had moments where they've struggled against Baltimore. You and I talked going into this series if something drastic was going to happen, if they lost the series. Maybe that was an overreaction. Maybe it wasn't. I didn't think in my wildest dreams that they would actually get swept at home. Something is broken with this team. I know they're 31-29. I know they're only six off of the loss column of Tampa Bay. They're only 2.5 back of a wild card spot. But, Donnie, just something is broken with this Yankees team right now.
Look at the game yesterday in the Bronx, Kevin, right? And everybody's drawing attention to the ninth inning, and rightfully so. Ronan Odor should not have struck out on a pitch that missed by, like, it looked like 17 feet at the time. It was like 5 inches off the plate, but a clear ball in a monster spot. Wasn't the second inning, wasn't the third inning, wasn't nobody's on base with two outs. The interesting part about that game, Kevin, is not the fact that Ronan Odor struck out. It's that Ronan Odor was even up at the plate for the New York Yankees. That tells you how the Yankee season is going. They will make changes. They will get better. But the problem is, how long are you going to wait? Because when you lose the AL East games, it's like a double up for the other team. You might want to go 500 around the league, but as long as you handle your business in division, you're always going to have the upper hand. The Yankees seem to be doing the opposite of that. Can't even win now with Gerrit Cole on the mound. Woo! Tough days in New York here. But again, as I like to say, they will make changes. They have money to spend. Mm. They will do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of time left, but it is the way that they're losing. To be honest with you, though, like, obviously we're going to still talk Major League Baseball, but a ball that basically would have put a right-handed batter on first base, it was so far off the plate, like, and to lose on that, obviously, all like, it would have loaded the bases, but Barnes was wild. It's just an absolute disgrace. The game is a mess. Like, we're spending time talking about foreign substances on baseballs, juicing baseballs, de-juicing baseballs. The state of Major League Baseball is a complete disaster. Like, they get nothing right. That's the only thing that's consistent about Major League Baseball, is they get nothing right. Yep. Pitchers, Donnie, you were sending out a tweet this weekend about pitchers this year, and the numbers at the plate are egregious. Mm. Jack Flaherty now is going to miss a bunch of time because of getting hurt while swinging. I just think the state of the game is embarrassing, quite frankly.
It really is. I mean, if you could take a look in hockey, the equivalent of Carey Price hurting his groin, not because he made a save, but because he was on a 2-on-1 breakaway down there. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Why are pitchers batting at any time at any place right now? And it will be changed in the near future. It's just astounding with the success it had last year in that short sprint season where they pulled it back and said, no, this is actually going to be better. Pitchers who only worry about pitching all of a sudden have to bunt, run the bases, do whatever they can. It's amazing that baseball puts itself in this predicament time and time again, but you're right. It's not good for the fans. You're trying to put on an entertaining sport, and that's not entertainment whatsoever. The old adage of, well, you know, it's going to force you to pull the pitcher in the fifth or sixth inning. What's the point of that when in the second inning it's bases loaded and one out, and you say the pitcher's coming up to the plate? Well, better luck next inning, because you know what's going to happen. Even the leadoff batter with two outs is hitting 230 or 220. He's not going to get a base hit either. Time to change things up in Major League Baseball. Hopefully they get it right next year. Don't de-juice the baseballs. Make sure you're not allowed to put foreign substances on a baseball. Take the pitchers out so you can put a high-priced batter in there whose only job, Kevin, is to get a base hit. A pitcher's only job is to get somebody out, not get a double in the gap for himself. Let's go, baseball. Come on now.
It really is a load of nonsense. How about an open on the French Open? A little update there. We've got on the men's side of things, you've still got Nadal and Novak Djokovic rolling strong. Although Roger Federer retires, withdraws. You see how dangerous that is, tennis? Care. If I tell you Roger Federer retires, you see that? Use the word withdraws. That's all I'm asking.
Did he have a press conference, Kev? Was it a big press conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so silly. But you still got Nadal and Novak Djokovic rolling strong there. Nadal's minus 150 to win the tournament. On the women's side of things, Swiatek is now minus 125. She's the only former winner still rolling in this tournament. Badoza's plus 440. Coco Gauff down to 7-1. A lot of good action still rolling here, Donnie, in both the men's and the women's side of the French Open.
Yeah, Coco keeping me active here in my odds boost, which is plus 800. We'll see how that flows down the list. But again, an astute comment by Kevin allowed me to lay off a little bit of that money to make sure, Kevin, we can get some pizza and some fries this weekend in my household because that's looking pretty strong. But also the odds boost on the opposite side. It's Rafael Nadal, minus 150 right now to win the tournament. He's plus 125 in my pocket. Let's go, Rafa. But interesting stuff here.
Yeah, and I'm very excited, though, that the Swiatek price is now minus 125 because that's what I paid for there not to be a first-time winner. And I feel like if I'm really, really, really worried and Swiatek gets to the final, like Donnie said, I could lay off a little bit of the money probably, but I feel good. You know, she seemingly has been quite dominant through this stretch here. She's minus 10.50 to win her matchup today, so hopefully she survives and advances and plays Coco Gauff in the final, and then Donnie and I, all happy days, no worries there. We got to bring up the Memorial Tournament. It made its way into the headlines here for reasons you really never want. Patrick Cantlay beat Colin Morikawa in a playoff, which should be wildly exciting, but John Rahm was, again, up 4 or 5 shots on the field after 3 rounds, was about a minus 390 favorite, I saw at one point on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the tournament, and then had to withdraw due to a positive COVID test, Donnie. A very, very unfortunate series of events there at the Memorial.
No, absolutely unfortunate events. And it's one thing where if you get that news, it's devastating news to begin with because you're still going to get panic. You don't know what the future is going to hold for you. I did see that he got his first shot earlier this week because he came into contact with somebody who tested positive, which he ended up testing positive. But the good thing, once again, asymptomatic here. And hopefully he'll be able to continue and get back for the U.S. Open. But interesting doings here. You're 6-shot lead, Kevin. It's not like you're 6-shot back or, hey, I'm tied for the lead or, you know, 1 shot back, 1 shot ahead. A 6-shot lead with a guy of that, with John Rahm of his, you know, competence, let's just say, on the golf course. That was going to be a stroll in the park and a coronation on Sunday, pick up a monster check and move forward. And now I guess you drop from first place, Kevin, in the purse all the way down to last place in whoever made the cut to try to get back involved in it because it's technically a withdrawal at that point. But a very nice closing here. Cantlay picks up the victory over Morikawa in extras, as we like to say, but more interesting, we don't see this that much. Like, not even guys, Kevin, get injured, like, you know, ankle injury, elbow injury, shoulder injury. A 6-shot lead, I would say, if he even had a knee injury or an ankle injury, he probably would have had to gut it out. But you can't fault the PGA, Kevin, for saying, look, hey, we can't let you go on. Even though you're asymptomatic at this point. Interesting doings in a golf tournament. Gauff, always in the news, Kevin. Whoa.
Yeah, very interesting. We did see, though, a nice gesture there from the FanDuel Sportsbook paying out the straight bets on John Rahm, including outright winner, top continental European player, top 5s, 10s, 20s, 30s, and 40s, and then also Rahm versus DeChambeau match bets there, which was awesome to see. Also, by the way, the Belmont happened, but without the Triple Crown drama, it wasn't as exciting. Essential Quality did win the Belmont Stakes. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back. Time for our hero of the night on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do it right now here on the early line. It is time, as always, for our hero of the night. All This is a show that respects the FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost. I would almost argue that this is a pairing in myself and Donnie that is seemingly on a mission to prove the value of the FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost. And we saw once again another odds boost come home and cash, this time in the world of the mixed martial arts in the UFC. Jairzinho Rozenstruik to win by knockout, boosted up to plus 180. How about a walk-off round one KO from Rozenstruik? Leaves the man slumped and leaves your pockets fatter. Plus 180. Another odds boost comes home to cash. Donnie, you love it. You love a good odds boost. Rozenstruik gets himself some Hero of the Night honors.
Yep, usually we like to say saved by the bell is a good thing. Not in this instance, 4:59. So what does that mean, Kev? 1 second to spare. And the things that I always like to see in sports are oddities that show up. Winner by KO/TKO, but due to punches, this fight was stopped. So interesting stuff here, but you are correct. We are odds men, Kevin, and odds men love a good odds boost. This was one. Certainly a Hero of the Night. We always give the extra boost, Kevin, to people that put money in our pocket.
Absolutely. I already am looking forward to see which odds boost we'll have today. I know there was a couple of early odds boosts that were off and running with some of that tennis action. There's one right now, a Brooklyn Phoenix parlay, a little boost there. And I'm sure there will be more added to the card throughout the day. Respect the FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost. But also, again, Rozenstruik needed to get back on his feet. A little buzzer beater KO. Can't get mad at that. Hero of the Night honors absolutely deserved. Let's take a break. Let's come on back here with more early line. It'll be hour number two. We'll start things off with our 7-7 top headlines.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2. Your second line simplified.